binders, all the paper, everything. But you do have to register. We also have a support group the third Thursday of every month. It'll be this Thursday. It's at 52 East Main Street. And you don't have to register for that. You just come, and you don't have to be a member of NAMI. Everything we do at either the classes or the support group is totally confidential. If you have any more questions or anything like that, or you want to ask about family to family, or you know you have a situation you'd like some help with, you can reach us through 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We do not have somebody man the phone 24/7, but we do have somebody who checks it at least twice a day, and we will promise you we will get back to you. Today, we are very privileged to have with us Carol Ricard, who's a licensed clinical social worker, and a TTS. I know it has something to do with smoking. I just don't know exactly what. What does it have to do with smoking,
it's
Carol?
Tobacco treatment specialist.
Okay, tobacco treatment specialist.
Yep.
And is also known as America's Wellness Ambassador. Carol is a dynamic, engaging speaker who brings life practical and useful solutions. She is a weekly contributor to Esperanza magazine. I'm assuming you're still doing that.
I do, Good. Yes.
And she has written about 30 books on stress and wellness. Recently, she just had four published. They're The Caregiver's Guide to Less Stress, The Teacher's Guide to Less Stress, The Nurse's Guide to Less Stress, and The Bride's Guide to Less Stress. I got to talk about that one. Carol is also known
as... Why, Larry? Enlighten us. Go ahead.
Carol is also known as America's Ultimate Stress Expert through the Women's World magazine. Now, Carol and I go back quite a ways. We've known each other for a long time, and it's always great to see you.
It's always good to be here with you, Larry, too, and Tracy.
Yeah, like I said, you and I go back quite a ways.
You said that, I was just trying to think about, do a quick, number count in my head. And, oh, my goodness, I at least came up with, 15.
I think it's about 15, 16
came up with
years.
15.
Yeah, something like that. Oh. Right. And, you know, which is fine, you know.
It's
because
good, it's good
helped
we're still
each other
around, right?
And we're still here helping each other, you know, so.
Yes, it is.
Carol, what you offer people is quite different than the stress management programs of the last couple decades.
Yep.
And why stress continues to be an impact on people's lives. What's your overall guide to dealing with stress in general? I mean, not specifically.
In general, is that we got to do something about it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because if you don't, it's gonna get you. And you know, it's funny. I came up with a quiz. It's I now just figured out how to put it online, but I call it stress blindness, that we have stress blindness because we're so used to just going through our days and just having to go, 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 that we don't really recognize that some of the stuff that we're doing is stressful. You know, it's kind of like you just put your foot down to the gas pedal and you just head through your day. And the problem with that is, and the reason I call it stress blindness, is because people don't see it, and then all of a sudden they end up in an emergency room in a hospital because they have chest pains or, you know, something's going on with their health. And, you know, so it's almost until it starts to show up in their lives in ways that they cannot not see it anymore.
It's like they have a higher stress, they have a higher set point, is like weight, right? You're already used to starting with your foot.
That's a great example, Tracy, because I think about patients who have come into the hospital with high sugar levels, high diabetes, and they've come in with a level, and then the emergency nurses have said, you know, oh my God, her level was at 800, but she was okay. And it's just you adapt to it's kind of like you adapt to what you're having to deal with.
Right.
The problem is that even though we adapt to it, it still can be hurting us silently when it's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Until
you know,
it's
a lot of times, families in this day and age, you know, both mother and father work.
Yep.
And they come home, you know, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And if they have a child who has mental health issues, that's more stress.
Absolutely.
Other than the job and, you know. And a lot of times they just try to deal with it best they can. And a lot of times the ill relative is overlooked a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they have to do their job. They have to go to work, got to be out of here by 5:30 in the morning and, on the road, blah, blah, blah. And it's so sad.
Yeah.
They
go in autopilot.
Yeah.
You know, I think coming to your, you know, it's like an autopilot that we reach. And,
right.
And the sad part about that is that sometimes, too, the family member doesn't even know that that's going on because they're just so busy trying to survive.
I tell families when I'm talking to them, what do you like to do? You, as an individual, what do you like to do? Do you like to read a book? You like to take a walk? You like to sit out on the deck and look at the stars? Whatever you like to do, take at least 10 minutes a day for you and do what you like to do. If you like taking a dog for a walk around a block, take the dog for a walk around a block. If you like reading, you can read. Whatever, you know.
Important words of wisdom, Larry.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, take a minimum of 10 minutes. Hopefully you can take more, but at least 10 minutes a day to relax and be yourself and do what you like to do so that you are then more capable of helping your loved one, you know.
It's called self-care. And
if you don't
practice caring for yourself, you aren't there able to care for anybody else, you know, kind of completely. Absolutely. And the mental health, the person's mental, you know, who has families that have mental health that they're dealing with, you know, it just kind of adds ripples and even magnifies. It's kind of they kind of bounce off each other. You know, you have the work stress at work, and then you come home and you have home stress. And so it just kind of one feeds the other, and it's really creating opportunities for breaks, you know, so it doesn't just feed. I almost think of the dog chasing its tail around, just going dizzier and dizzier and dizzier.
Yeah. And, you know, it's sad, too, because a lot of times it's not just the one person in the family that has, you know, an illness.
Yep.
They have siblings or they, you know, brothers and sisters living there. And a lot of times the brothers and sisters get angry, for a lack of a better word, because most of the attention is being focused on the one with the illness and not on the others. And it's sad.
It's, you know what? One of the things I would say to, you know, at least in a hospital when I worked with my patients and they had a they had a son or a daughter. What I said to them that they did, like you gave the advice for them to do for themselves, I think it's really important for families to also do something with that other son or daughter.
Yeah.
Right. To very specifically, schedule, like put it on the schedule. And if you can make it be regular every Tuesday night or every Thursday night or, you know, whatever it is, that goes a long ways to really balancing out all the children's needs.
Yeah.
You know? Because, it's also being that sibling is also stressful for a lot of different reasons. But, it's kind of, and I think it's validating that sibling. It's really important.
And, you know, sometimes I know in my family, you know, we have 4 kids, 3 boys and a girl, and my youngest son is has a mental health issue, is schizophrenic. And his older brother was feeling so guilty that his kid brother had it.
Yep.
And what could he do to help and what could he do to fix it?
Yeah.
And you tried to tell him, and he got to the point where he was almost breaking down.
Yeah.
And we took him aside and said, look, you know, your brother didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
It's a chemical imbalance of the brain. He just happened to have it. There's nothing you can do, I mean, other than being a sibling. You can talk to him. You can be nice to him like you've always been. That's about the best you can do, you know. And when he's a little better, you know, maybe you can take him, you know, to the mall or something like that. But other than that, you know, and it worked because he got that picture that it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
And he was blaming himself, you know.
And feeling guilty because I think the guilt is, you know, the other big piece of that, too.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, really, when one person in the family has a mental illness, the whole family is...
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not going to say sick, but affected.
It's ripples. I think of it as like when you pull, you know, you throw a boulder into a lake or a pond, and then the ripples.
Right.
Well, guess what? The ripples go all the way around the lake.
Yep, they sure do. And while we're on caregivers, would you elaborate on a caregiver's guide to less stress?
Well, it's interesting because I brought you guys a copy of my 60 Seconds, and...
Right.
That's the foundation for all these guides. It really is giving them the tools to be able to do something about stress in 60 seconds. Because when you're a caregiver, there's, again, so much that you do not get to control. You know, I always like handing out a playing card when I'm speaking to the audience members because that's life. You don't always get to choose the card you're dealt. And
you don't always get an ace.
No, you don't. You might get the two or the three.
Yeah, right,
you know?
Or a joker.
Yeah. And what you have to do is play them the best. And I think for caregivers, there's so much built-in stress that just goes along. There's stress that you can mitigate and you can kind of, you know, minimize at times. But there's so much about being a caregiver that you can't.
Right.
And so it's, for me... it actually, you know what? In truth, it started with the Bride's Guide to Less Stress.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, and we'll talk about
that
the
Bride's
Stress.
That sounds good, where it started.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I think we've got some sound now.
Yeah, we've got sound now? Good. You know, I don't have to shout.
No shouting.
All right. Well, welcome back anyway. We have with us today Carol Ricard, who's done so much in helping people with stress and other things. And she's, like I said earlier, she published 4 recently published guides. One of the ones I want to talk about is the guide, that Bride's Guide to Less Stress. Now, I'm trying to think why, well, a bride would have less stress. The wedding.
Oh, my God, Larry.
Oh, Larry.
Larry.
No, I'm asking the wedding. I'm asking a question.
Brides probably are one of the most stressed out people, you know, that exist.
Why?
How many boys did you say you had?
Three.
Because the bride...
One's still married. The daughter got divorced.
My
oldest son got divorced.
Well, you know, there is just so much. Now, here's the thing. I'm talking as having never been somebody who's been married. However, I saw my mother and my sisters, because I had three sisters that got married. Three sisters that got married, and three of which were at home. Two of which were at home. There is so much. Brides want their dream to come true. And if there's any little thing that kind of doesn't match what that dream was as they had as a little girl growing up, think of it. There are 1,000 moving parts. And the more parts there are, the more things you got to worry about and get stressed out. Now, I'm sure, though, you've probably heard of bridezillas. Have you heard that term? Okay. Well, I came up with this idea for a book because I was driving to Trenton, to Capitol Health, to go to work, and it occurred to me, who are the most stressed out group of individuals that could benefit? And I thought, of brides. Because it either comes spilling out on people around them and they become bridezillas, or maybe there are more like me who we hold our stress in, and when it gets too much, we end up getting sick. You know, and so my thought was to take this 60-second solution and to share with brides, because there's so much they can't control. You know, you can't control whether it's going to rain on your wedding day or it's not going to rain on your wedding day.
Snowed on mine.
There you go. I know
blizzard.
It's good luck. It's good luck if it rains. What is if it snows? Good luck.
I don't know, but January's 55 years, so it must mean something.
I know. I was going to say, as long as you've been married, maybe snow is
But only one couple didn't make the wedding.
Wow.
And that was someplace from way out in the end of Long Island. They were the only couple that didn't come. Everybody else made it through the snow.
Grooms, you know, somebody suggested the groom's guide to less stress, and I don't think grooms tend to have a lot of stress when it comes to weddings, because it all falls on the bride.
Right, the bride is planning that reception and every single minute of the day.
Every little minute.
And I say this because I have videotaped over 100 weddings.
Well, I haven't seen
mine
that
many. That was the only time I could get leave. I was still in the service, so that was it. January was the only time. So we get married then or not, you know?
Well, now, wait a minute. That kind of explains it a little bit, too, because if he was busy in the service, then he wasn't around to have to...
Right.
Your wife kind of took care of...
that and her parents
and
her
parents.
My mother.
Yep. So now it makes sense to me.
But... It was still stressful because we were driving. My best man and I were, you know, God rest his soul, he passed. But we were driving from Oklahoma
in his car here.
And we had to make it, you know, because we could only leave at a certain time. And, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-huh. See, he had his own wedding stress.
Yeah. One thing.
The interesting part about, though, is that I felt sincere about how it's such a special day for people, and yet stress can ruin it in one of two ways. Either, you know, you become the bride from hell, you know, and you take it out on everybody around you, or probably there are so many brides like me who I would have migraines or end up getting sick or just and not being able to enjoy that. And so that was kind of what launched the guide series. And then I had a person that I kind of work with as a mentor, and he's like, you know, if you took away the brides, you could put another word in there. And that's when I realized, the nurses. Mm. So each guide is at the core, the system that I gave you today, the 60-second system. And then there are some extra chapters that speak to each of those groups. With caregivers, it was self-care and actually communication. because I think caregivers, if they can have better communication skills, they can actually decrease a little bit of the stress that goes on between them and the person they're caregiving. So,
see, I think, too, like with our wedding, as soon as the wedding was over, we went to Pennsylvania for a week. And then from there, we drove out to Oklahoma. And my wife's job, they would hold for her till we got back, which was a year.
Wow.
Yeah, she worked for an attorney. And
wow.
He said, hey, you come back, you know.
That's great.
We put somebody in there while she was gone because you've gone a year.
Yeah. Wow.
But then, you know, but the whole time we were in Oklahoma, she didn't have to work.
Yeah.
You know, we had a one-bedroom little place, you know.
Yeah.
And it looked like actually it was a former motel. And they put, a little apartments
service
in there.
They
you
put
know,
apartments for
the
service.
Military,
yeah,
right.
For the service guys.
And so, you know.
Yeah.
Cool, you know.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to know, though, if it was stressful for her. Because on one hand, you know, here she was working. And then she goes to not working. And believe it or not, for a lot of people, not working can be very stressful.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No?
Well, you know.
Because they're used to being busy.
And I think the not knowing what Oklahoma was going to be like. Which
having
was
lived,
fine, you know,
well,
was,
let me tell you what. I lived in Oklahoma, so
yeah,
I, you
we
know.
We did too. Whereabouts did you live?
Well, let's see. I started in Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
Okay.
I was at Phillips 66 Petroleum there.
Okay.
And then I went down to Tulsa.
Okay.
And probably was in Tulsa for maybe about a year. And then I actually had to get out of Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, we were in Altus, which is like 65 miles from Lawton. And, you know, Lawton is a big Army base.
Yep.
Altus was an Air Force base with missile sites and everything around it. So, you know,
yeah.
But anyway.
we digress.
Yeah, we do.
That's okay.
Sorry, I can't add anything to the Oklahoma conversation.
All right. Would you think that part of the bride's stress, aside from the wedding and all that that you mentioned, would be just the thought of somebody that they've been dating and now they're going to live with them?
Absolutely. Well, nowadays there are a lot of women living together.
Right. Yeah.
But still, that change. And so if you think about this, the most simple definition is our response to a change or a situation. And so really, a change can be something as, yes, I'm living with my fiance, but now we're married.
Right.
You know, and even that change can kind of create these little ripple effects.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to break the news to you, but our brains are wired for stress. Like, we can't always shut it off. So let me give you an example. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever been flying away on a big trip or going on vacation, and the night before you go to bed and you can't sleep? Larry's like, nah, he got no stress.
No, it's not that I don't have stress. It's just that I don't have a lot of trouble sleeping.
Yeah,
you know.
That's good. That's good. But the idea of it is that even the idea of that change of going away on vacation, for a lot of people, they'll say like, yeah. Well, that's because our bodies are wired to kind of, you know, that's help us survive change. And so that's why becoming aware of it becomes so important, because we do it on autopilot without even deciding to. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely that even that change in the relationship.
Right, and if you're going on vacation, you might be a little worried about whether it's going to be good, and whether if you're flying, whether you're, you know, what's going to happen on the plane, and who you're having the vacation with, and there's a lot of things.
Well, and then if you're working, you might be thinking about all the work now that you're going to have to come home to, which is why somewhere I read a statistic that a lot of people take work on vacation with them, so they don't have to come back to it.
Right.
But guess what? I want to tell you a secret. So for anybody listening that is working and can only get away for like 1 week, I learned how to turn a 1 week vacation into two.
Oh, that's incredible. Let's hear about that.
So here's what you do. I learned this when I was at Carrier trying to help people go back to work after being out for mental health treatment and not wanting them to get overwhelmed, right? So what I started doing was having them go back to work on a Thursday so that they were only back from a Thursday and a Friday, so they only were back at work for 2 days. Then they had the weekend to have a break. Or if they went back, to go back for half a day. So I started doing that with my own vacations. And it's amazing because what I do is I work Monday, Tuesday. Sometimes I'll work Wednesday, sometimes not. But the first week, I know I only have 2 days a week that I have to work. And then I am in vacation mode. But then the good news is that when I come back, I only have to be stressed out by work for a couple days before I then have another break. So it really is it's a great strategy. In fact, I'm thinking of Martha, who retired from Catholic Charities.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I taught that at a workshop.
Martha Roselli?
Yes, yes, yes. So funny. I taught that at a workshop a couple years ago for Catholic Charities staff. And the last time I saw her at a board meeting, she came up to me and says, "You know what? I did that. I used that 1 week into 2 week thing, and you're right. It worked really well." So, yep,
good
that's
idea.
My secret.
You know, when we were talking about airplanes, one thing struck in my mind. I was in uniform, and I was flying back, and there was a nun sitting next to me. And we got into turbulent weather. Well, she grabbed my arm and said, "You don't mind if I hang on to you, do you?" I says, "No, sister, it's okay. I don't know what you think I'm going to do, but I'm not piloting it." But, you know, she says, "I'm just so scared of flying," and she's shaking, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Just calm down, sister. We'll make it through, you know. But yeah, it just that just struck me when you were talking about planes, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, being worried.
Here's a nun, and she's worried about flying or whatever's going to happen, you know.
Thank goodness she had you sitting next to her to be her kind of her calm anchor.
Yeah, right.
No?
You know, everyone, I don't care who it is, we need health and wellness.
Absolutely.
And especially someone with a mental illness, okay? So would you speak to that since you're also known as a wellness ambassador?
Well, I can speak to that as a wellness ambassador, but also as a person who lives with a mental health condition. You know, I know that if I'm not taking care of myself and managing my stress levels, that's one of my bullseyes. I call them bullseyes, stress bullseyes, and it's where stress goes after. And anybody with a mental health, you know, we have those bullseyes. But the other really important part about wellness, Larry, is that it doesn't happen by accident. That, you know, and unfortunately, you know, we live in a society where people want a pill that's going to make them better. And that doesn't happen when it comes to physical health or mental health. The pill helps. It does its job. But then you got to step up and help the medicine. And I think that's one of the critical pieces when it comes to wellness is, honestly, I think that's where our healthcare has failed greatly. You know, my dad was a doctor. And I remember, you know, 40 years ago as a kid, actually, more than 40 years ago, because...
We'll let it go at that.
Yeah.
I
was just thinking, he passed away when I was 14, so... but back in the day, you know, doctors, he taught his patients. He talked about what they needed to do. He had conversations with them.
Right.
When managed care came in, it knocked out all of those conversations that physicians used to have with their patients.
Right.
And part of it is the education. Part of it is the getting them to acceptance. You know, now you go in and it's like, well, even psychiatrists, I've heard so many patients say, "Oh, Carol, he spent 10 minutes with me."
Right.
Well, how is that going to help me? And that, I think, is how the system has failed people.
Yes.
Because it doesn't give them the opportunity to learn the tools either to be well.
I agree 100%.
And patients, you know, I used to tell my patients in the hospital when I worked, you know, they were lucky because they got to be here and learn these skills. And everybody needs to learn them. But honestly, these days, that doesn't even happen in hospitals anymore. Yeah. Because people aren't there given the chance to be long enough in a hospital before they're then discharged out the door. Now,
And you know, ironically, everybody has a different experience when it comes to hospitalizations and such. And some people, "Oh, I wouldn't go there because, you know, I had bad experience there." And somebody else said, oh, that was great. They taught my, you know, son how to do this, you know.
Yep.
And it's just...
Isn't it funny?
Strange, you know?
Yeah, I've had. I remember one outpatient program I used to refer to in Trenton, and I'd have people say, "Oh, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there." But I always would throw out the other side of it because I knew there was somebody that went there that told me,
right.
"Carol, if I hadn't gone there, I probably wouldn't be alive today."
Right.
You know,
right.
It helped me so much, and I'm a big believer that we all thought the same thing works for all of us, and the only way you're going to find out is to find out for yourself.
Right.
Exactly.
Because
there's no really one way to wellness. I think that's the important piece of it is, and not the same medicines work the same way on everybody.
No.
You know?
You could take aspirin and I couldn't, you know,
yeah.
because
right.
my body wouldn't accept it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's the problem a lot of yeah. times because, and I'm not blaming the doctors, don't
nope.
get me wrong, but when someone comes to them, they prescribe the medication that's been historically
yeah.
successful for people over the years.
Yeah.
But it may not be successful for you.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many medications my son was on. We lost count. It's with so many.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them have rotten side effects,
yeah.
for lack of a better word.
That's a good word.
You know, but you take a young woman, say late teens, early 20s, they put her on a medication and she gains 50 pounds.
Not,
you
yeah,
think,
no.
No
right.
way in hell is
no.
she going to stay on that medication.
Yeah.
I'm
no.
sorry.
No.
And I don't blame her.
No. Mm-hmm.
They put
yeah.
my son on a medication and he gained 60 pounds.
Yeah.
And we took him off it, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
he looked like a balloon. He was,
yeah.
you know, and he's the smallest of all the kids.
Well, you think of this. I'm taking the medication to have a quality of life, but then you're taking away my quality of life.
Right. Exactly.
Because of,
right.
that is, you know, I mean, you're right. And I think that that's also, like you said, no, you know, nothing towards doctors, but I think that that's just one of the challenges when it comes to mental health.
Yep.
You know, my blood pressure, guess what? The blood pressure medicine I take works for 95% of people. The question is, you know, how much does the dose have to be? And it might increase it a little bit. But that doesn't work the same way for mental health.
No.
No. Although I will say that if I was diagnosed completely new all over again, the one thing that I would do, even if I had to pay out of pocket for it, was to go do the genetic testing. Because what that testing does is it looks at how my body breaks down medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says, stay away from these because guess what? These aren't going to work for Carol.
Right.
Because we're all different. And I
right.
think that's the one thing I would encourage anybody. And Medicaid and Medicare, I mean, the insurances pay for it now because they know they're spending a lot more money if they
don't pay for it.
Yeah, you're going to spend $30,000-$50,000 because a person ends up maybe say hospitalized because the medicine's not working, or you can
right.
pay this couple hundred dollars for a test.
So I'm not that familiar with this test. What you would ask your physician if you can
there's
genetic testing.
There's genetic testing that, in fact, some of the programs that I know people have gone to, that's actually one of the things that's part of their program.
Part of their program.
Because why do they, if they can have something that will help them narrow down what are going to be the better medicines for this person to take
mm-hmm.
based upon individualized how their body is metabolizing
right. mm-hmm. exactly.
the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
and
real.
I know a couple people who have had it and it worked wonderful for them.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. rather than kind of like the crapshoot that you had
right.
to go through with
right.
your son,
right.
where you know that okay, this isn't going to be this is it kind of real. And even
right.
if I was a prescriber, I have to tell you, if I was a prescriber, I would make all my patients have that
it.
Test,
right.
even if I had to pay for it, because I know that in the long run it would serve me
mm-hmm.
and help me serve
right.
them.
Is it a blood test or a swab?
No, it's like a swab test. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
so if you already did, what is it, 1, 2, 3, or Ancestry?
No, different than 1, 2, 3. Nothing.
Type
nope.
Okay.
Nope. It's really
that
specific that it goes to a lab that looks at And it started with cancer drugs.
Yeah.
The technology maybe 20 years ago started when they started doing this for cancer medication,
right.
Mm-hmm. And which were good medicines for right. some people and not based on how their body, what their body was going to do with the medication.
Right.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. Our guest today, Carol Ricard, is also known as America's Wellness Ambassador, and we've been talking about wellness in various situations. I know a lot of us have problems communicating with others. And many times it's much more difficult to communicate with someone with a mental illness.
Yeah.
What have you found that works, if anything?
You want to know, I found that there's one thing that we could say that will make a difference, and that is help me understand what's going on or help me understand what you're feeling.
Okay.
Because it has two hidden messages that are in there that go right to that person's brain and their heart. And that is, one, pardon my language, I give a shit. You know, and two, I'm going to listen. And that, to me, is the core of what every human being really wants.
Right.
Not to be told what to do, but to kind of be validated. And when I teach crisis kind of intervention at the hospital, that's the thing that I say. Or simply asking a question, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
That it's kind of like a little knock on the door, 'cause the thing about it, particularly around mental health, is that person on the other side may not feel like talking, as you know.
Right.
May be experiencing symptoms that make it very hard for them to communicate. And so it just kind of starts where they are. And I think that's important for any conversation we have, is to kind of gauge, start where the person is.
Right.
Rather, I mean, I can have everything I want to say to you, Larry, but if I don't start where you are, you're not going to hear anything that I say to you.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. I was just going to sidestep just a little bit. When you think about somebody who's been suffering from a lot of anxiety for a while, and the idea that in 60 seconds they could change their mood or reboot, how is that possible?
Well, it's even more possible than 60 seconds, because science, like the research has shown that if you even will just make yourself smile, it changes your brain chemistry. And I you know, I've come to understand the research behind this, but I can remember, like, oh my God, 25 years ago going to a workshop and somebody said, well, if you don't feel like smiling, stick a pencil in your mouth. But think about this, because I've been to that place where I was so depressed that if you'd asked me to smile, I mean, I felt like my face was in stone, right? But if you made me put a pencil in my mouth.
This way.
This way, you actually had to change your face muscles, which then started to change your facial chemistry, which the brain chemistry. And so, yeah, does it mean it's not going to go away? But it's amazing what we can do.
It's a reset button.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take the anxiety away, but you know what it does? I mean, just what I teach doesn't take the stress away. I love it. I remember doing this workshop at the hospital, and the gentleman I'd given a great tool to use, and he's like, well, raise his hand. Like, yeah. And he's like, so how is this going to take away my financial stress? And I said, it's not. But what it's going to do is give you a little relief from that financial. It's not going to change your financial situation. And kind of the same. It's not going to change the anxiety, because if I have a true anxiety disorder, it's there. But what it's going to do is kind of minimize some of the impact. And it's in the brain. Like, it's kind of... So do you all know this about rocking?
About rocking?
Rocking in a rocking chair.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I learned this a couple years ago, and it's one of the tools I teach in my workshops. So I'd heard a gentleman talk about how rocking, when your brain moves, it's the motion of our brain in just, and I don't know the degrees, but the rocking motion in a rocking chair, right? He says physiologically it creates a relaxation response, which is why when you rock babies to sleep, they fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, their physical pain in their belly overrides that. But you can't stop it. It's physiological. And the same thing happens with some of these other tools, that we can create physiological changes in our body. Does it mean I still feel anxious? Maybe so. But if it changes the brain chemistry a teeny little bit, that's all it takes.
So almost any movement then?
Well,
getting
actually,
up and walking,
yes,
things like that.
So the secret system that I teach in Do 60 and in my guidebooks is what I learned the hard way, and that was managing stress takes two steps. You got to do two things. First step is you got to stop the level from building, or the pressure from building. That you can do breathing, listen to music, anything passive. The second step has to be active. It's like if I took the soda bottle and I shook it up and the pressure built inside, A, I'd have to stop shaking the bottle, or it's just going to keep building up. And B, I have to go ch-ch-ch-ch, because once it gets inside, it's not going to go anywhere.
So what do you mean by active?
Anything
as opposed
that requires, anything that requires muscle.
Okay.
So muscle, writing, coloring, walking, talking, cleaning the house. And the most important thing is that not everything's the best for everybody. figuring out what works good for you, you know. And that's why I liked your comment to the parents, is figuring out what it works for them, because not everything works for the same for all of us.
Right.
For example, I find untangling jewelry very relaxing. But for 99% of people, guess what? It has the opposite effect.
Right.
So.
Have you looked into the gay and lesbian mental health issues? I know that they get bullied more, and a number of them have committed suicide. In fact, I've known a couple families where this occurred. And is it more because of their sexuality, or is it because of, you know?
Well, when you think about it, I mean, the whole bullying idea, Larry, if you think about even the number of young kids who've taken their lives that were 10, 11, 12, and I think that is a pretty, that in itself is a pretty big indicator. And I think the protection of that is then having kind of like you do with NAMI. You know, I think about it with NAMI and how it creates an opportunity for acceptance and belonging and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And and I think that with the teens that not that I've spent a lot looking at this, but I know that there have been some schools where they've actually started the clubs. I don't even know what they call them anymore.
Right.
But where, you know what, if I have that going on at school, I have this safe place to be able to go to. But I think the other part about that is if a kid, a teenager, hasn't come out to their parents, then guess what? They don't have the ability to go talk to them about that as well.
Right.
You know, I don't know. You just made me think even about vets. You know, about veterans. And I think it was, you know what it was, is this past week was the State Suicide Conference, Prevention Conference. And then there's another one coming up for kids that AIR does on the 24th, I think it is, in Nujama and Attitudes in Reverse, and really about children and kids and how we can kind of
AIR has been on a show a couple
times. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the idea of it is really how. So here's the interesting thing. We can focus on suicide, you know, or mental illness, but what AIR does is focus on mental wellness and giving kids a toolkit and a backpack so that when life challenges do show up, they actually have some tools to be able to navigate.
They lost a son, too.
Yeah, well, and that was what, I actually, I was supposed to have done a workshop last week with Trish, because I'd given her, the truth is, this series started with Stress Busters for Kids, because I was talking to kids about stress at fairs and workshops, and I decided to put what I was telling the kids into a book. And that was how it all got distilled down to simple and practical. And so I'd given her a copy of the book, and we were going to do a stress workshop for children. Unfortunately, I think the beginning of the school year, it just kind of didn't take off like we thought it would. So we're going to come back around and do it in November. But
And I want to say something about your books. I noticed that they're very simple to follow. There's a lot of pictures and large type. They're very visual.
They're very visual.
And it's something that children could read and understand. This is not all about the studies and percentages and the clinical trials.
The Stress Busters for Kids is when the two places to see. So there's two ways that get you to see stress, because you have to see it in order to know you have to do something about it. One is a bottle of root beer. The other is a tub.
Yeah.
You know, and for kids, the best compliments that I've actually gotten from kids was the fact that they could pick out their favorite tool. And what I heard was, my son has ADD, but he could read this. You know, because I wrote books for when I was at my worst depression, and that was, I read one sentence and I'd forget it. And so, my writing started 27 years ago with my own mental health challenges, but also then working in a hospital with people that had no concentration.
Right. Is the local depression and bipolar support group still active?
Yes, 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 they are. Oh, my goodness. So if you ask me what day they meet, I forget completely off of my...
Is that the one that meets at the...
Yeah, it meets at the same place, 52 at, Main Street.
I think it's Tuesday night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Every, 6:30 to 8:30 or 6:30 to 8 or something like that.
Yeah. And it's every week, which
every
is Tuesday, nice because
every,
it gives everybody a chance. You know,
and it's open to anybody.
Yeah.
Right, and there's one in Somerset County, and I'm sure in many counties.
Well, actually,
in
DBSA, has, I want to say, 24 chapters across the state, and all peer facilitated.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if someone wanted to reach out to you, would you give us a phone number or website or something like that?
Website? I mean, my best website is. Well University, which is WELLYOU, as in you, a well you, and an University, but put a Y and O, .com, or you know, give me a call and it's easy to get me because it's 888 and then the word life tools, because that's kind of what I believe we all need to have.
Right.
To kind of be our best in life with some tools.
Why don't you give that website again?
Because, spelling wise, I know it's a very good visual name for a business, but when it comes to saying it, it gets lost. So it's Well You University. WELLYOUNIVERSITY.com.
Okay. Yep.
That's it.
So. And Carol, we do appreciate you coming on. We really do.
Oh, I'm glad to see you. I love
thank you, Carol.
I love being here with you guys and just contributing to the great work that you guys do
and,
here in the county.
You know, and anything NAMI can do to help in any way, let me know.
I will. I will most certainly.
You got my email and my phone, so we can reach out.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
I won't be here next week, but my co-host will be running the show, and all by herself, which I'm very proud of.
I've done it before, Larry.
Yeah.
Okay. I can do it.
But you didn't have a guest before.
I think I can.
I think you can.
I know you can. I wouldn't have it done if I didn't think you could do it. So I know you can do it. So same time next week, Tracy will be running it. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
Okay.
Get on up.
Everybody out there.
Get into it.
Everybody out there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Nearly 50,000 UA workers are going on strike against General Motors.
UAW! Who are we?
UAW!
that protest in Bowling Green, Kentucky. There are growing talks going on between the company and the union. Jeremy Acevedo of Edmunds.com.
If these labor negotiations do continue for quite a while, shoppers then can expect to see choices go down, maybe looking for a model that they have their heart set on that's just not going to be available.
More problems in the aftermath of that drone attack at Saudi oil facilities. The president tweeted he was awaiting verification from the Saudis as to who's to blame for the attacks. He also said he'd wait to hear from Riyadh under what terms we should proceed. The president has authorized the use of a strategic petroleum reserve to stabilize global oil supply and the price at the pump. This is USA Radio News.
Would you take $100 and throw 80 of it away? If you're taking drugstore vitamin tablets, that's exactly what you're doing because 80% of those tablets are not being absorbed. Hi, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, creator of Texas Superfood. Many of you take Texas Superfood daily and feel great. But some people tell us they just don't like the taste of green powder or they have a problem swallowing capsules. That's why we created our new line of great-tasting liquid supplements. Go to texassuperfood.com/liquid. From multivitamins to products for energy, sleep, joint care, and more, our liquid supplements offer the highest absorption rates available anywhere, up to 96%. Imagine waking up after a great night's sleep feeling rested and ready to handle the day with endless energy and clarity. Stop wasting your money on drugstore vitamin tablets that don't work. Get absorbable liquid nutrition from the name you trust, Texas Superfood. Visit texassuperfood.com/liquid to get 20% off. Go to texassuperfood.com/liquid. Go to texassuperfood.com/liquid now.
Top congressional Democratic leaders are lobbying the president to support strengthening gun background checks. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul on CNN's State of the Union.
You have to keep the same constitutional burdens that you're innocent until proven guilty. You can't flip it and say to the person, oh, you have to prove that you're not a criminal.
Democratic presidential hopeful Beto O'Rourke appeared on NBC's Meet the Press. He says ramping up gun restrictions can be done in ways which respect the Second Amendment.
This is constitutionally sound. This is absolutely necessary if we care about the lives of our fellow Americans.
In Duluth, Minnesota, authorities say a fire that destroyed a historic synagogue last week doesn't appear to have been a hate crime. Police Chief Mike Tuscan.
We don't have an indication that there was a motive of hate in this. It may change, but today, at this date and time, we can't say that this was motivated by hate.
A suspect was arrested on Friday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
Help doing things due to physical limitations or disabilities that they'll keep us in mind. One thing I take really seriously.
This nutritional value to
my job is to help. It's not to assign people up for a program that's not right for them. So people come in with concerns and questions. I'm going to bring you into my office and sit down. And if we're not the best option for you, I'm going to let you know.
Very important.
That's integrity. You know, that has to do with who I am.
Exactly.
And we'll help you find, if you can, a program that is right for you or your loved one. We certainly don't believe that one size fits all. It doesn't. We're all individuals. And people need their treatment to reflect that, that they're individuals and they may need different things, you know.
Now, what are the hours for the program again?
So the program hours, they vary because, again, we work with people individually. So if a client comes to us and says, listen, I have to get to work by such and such time, right, so I need my mom, you know, to be in your care by a certain time, then whenever possible, we will open early, we'll do whatever we can to facilitate that for our clients. But generally speaking, we have our clients in the program from about 8 a.m., although having said that, we're there earlier, and sometimes clients are there earlier if they need to be there for, you know, their schedules. But usually from about 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then around 2, we tend to, we start, you know, taking people to their homes.
I see. Okay. Now, on the December 1st,
at your facility. What time does that event begin?
Right, so that's on Saturday, December 1st, and we are not open for program that day, although I'm hoping a lot of our clients will come and join us and take part in the learning and sharing of information. But it is 10 a.m. We'll be there, and we're going to stay open till 2 or till whenever people are sort of, you know, done filtering in, but we're saying tentatively we will definitely be there, open at 10, giving out raffle tickets for prizes, starting the, you know, the festivities, and then somewhere around, you know, between 2 and 3 we'll be wrapping up.
Okay. Now, the folks that are coming from AARP and the law firms and so forth, will they just be meeting people at a table and chatting with them as they walk by?
So that depends on what they were comfortable doing. So some people were... we're going to get some brochures from additional people, like American Hearing Centers. They're going to be dropping off some pamphlets and have a table, so they may not have a representative there, but they'll have a pamphlet about hearing aids and how people can access those. And I think I'm going to set up a table and have my job be discussing, like, Medicare and Medicaid, because, boy, is that stuff confusing. So I might just set up myself at a station and be providing information about those systems. But some people...